This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee. Let's go for a little ride.
Lante is gone.
See ya.
Know what that means. I'm not really sure what that means. We got one more hour of the show. We're back next week, Monday and Tuesday. Scheduling note, we'll be off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
You've got something going on next week.
Like I do,
job or something.
So far, at least. my Thursday's freeing up a little bit.
That's true.
Thanksgiving. But
you can watch the Lions instead.
Yeah. No, I probably won't.
Lions headphones are really loud, by the way.
Are they?
It's like way too loud. Must have a hearing issue. All right.
All right. Anyways, The Drive, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, Hans D in the house. We got Who You Got coming up, 5:30. Can't wait. Might have to throw a Dolphins pick in there just because we did that yesterday, but Hans is repping the Dolphins jersey. And
I'll need his thoughts on the team since he's a fan.
Yeah, he is.
Is it a bandwagon? It's not a bandwagon thing, right? Like, you definitely were wearing like a Dolphins jersey last year, too.
Yeah.
You're not just on the Tua train. Okay. All right. Very good. Lon wanted to point out that Coach Hartlib's son, Zach, is now playing for Illinois, no longer at John A.
One of the few errors that Lon had throughout the
I don't know what
first
was going
hour.
On. That was a total getaway day hour for Lon. when we were sitting in there and he goes, why is South referred to as down and North referred to as up? I'm like, is he serious right now? That's all right. He had Florida right. on the mind.
Yeah, anyways. So in case you missed it, there is some scheduling news with Illinois basketball. The MTE is next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Wright State, who was scheduled for Thanksgiving Day, 11 a.m., and thought to be the best team you'd play, they have opted out. They have COVID issues, a couple of positive tests, contact tracing. Of course, that would have meant Tim Finke coming back to Champaign.
Oh, that's right.
Scott Nagy, their head coach, longtime. His dad, Dick Nagy, longtime assistant for Lou Henson. And they have a big man in Loudon Love, who is the Horizon League preseason player of the year. Mm-hmm. Talked about it a little bit in the first hour. It would have been nice, not that they would have... You know, you don't need an IO game-winning shot probably against a Wright
State.
You'd
hope not.
That's a team that could maybe push you a little bit, challenge you a little bit before you play Baylor the following week. So they're out. Illinois has since announced that they're looking for another team to keep it as a four-team event to make sure that there are two games of for all of 3 days.
Because the other teams play each other too.
Right.
So to Lon, and I get why Lon was saying, could you just find somebody for Thursday? But then, you know, you're also leaving out Ohio on Wednesday or whatever it is, and North Carolina A&T on Friday, because they don't get a third team to play either.
Yeah, ideally, you would have someone that's willing to commit for three games those 3 days, so everyone has three games to get out of it. Now, could Illinois sit there and say, we tried that, and we could only slot in a one-team agreement for that day, and if you're Ohio and North Carolina A&T, I don't know if you can really do anything about it.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like as the host of the MTE, it's good manners to try and get everything, you know, fleshed out correctly.
And I think they are. I think they're trying to do that. Now, we've had some suggestions on the text line. You can continue to do that, 217-359-2255. Don't send in Kansas. It's not going to happen. Maybe a little. See, we've tried to do, like, on-air research where not only do I have an idea of a team that might be willing to do it, the scheduling has to coordinate, and that's really complicated.
That's the thing is, last half hour, I was sitting in there on KenPom clicking on random teams in the top 100. Because Wright State, I think, was like 103, just to give you an idea. Which is pretty good.
They won 25 games last year.
Yeah, and they were finished, or projected, at least on KenPom, to finish first in the Horizon again this year. So I was trying to find teams in that range, but every Midwest regional team that I clicked on, it seemed like they had something on the 25th, the 26th, or the 27th. There aren't a ton of options. I know you mentioned Dayton, which would certainly be a step up in competition-wise from the other two games. They are, let's see, 49th in KenPom.
Okay.
And their first game is December 12th. So they don't even start until 2 weeks later.
I meant to text James Herring, our friend of the show. I meant to text him during the commercial break. We need to make that happen. Dayton's a good team. They're not projected to be first in their league this year.
But see, that's what I love.
Losing Obi.
Is you've still got the name brand. Not that they're not good.
Right.
But you've got the name brand of like potential one seed Dayton from last year in people's minds. So even if Dayton finishes third this year, they're still a really good team, and they're a name that people will go, oh, wow, okay, you beat Dayton. That's a good win.
Yeah, and they come from a decent league. SLU's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Rhode Island's had good teams.
And SLU had to back out, didn't they? I think I saw today that they were backing out against Nebraska, right?
That sounds right.
Playing them in a tournament or something, and I think they have a problem.
Yeah. So. Dayton's still supposed to be pretty solid. Jalen Crutcher was a great guard for them last year. He's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make Dayton happen. Another one that makes sense, Western Illinois.
Yep.
Friend of the show, Nick Irvin there, Rob Jeter in his first year as head coach. They were going to play in an MTE with DePaul. DePaul has issues with COVID, so they've pulled out of that. They did lock in a date in Iowa City for December 2nd, but right now I think that's their season opener, so Western Illinois has the week open. You could slot them in if you wanted to.
Why do they play in that conference, Western Illinois? They're like with like the Dakotas and like Idaho.
Are they with Grand Canyon, too?
Yeah, I don't understand. That's like when the Boise was supposed to be in the Big East for a year or something. Like, I just, it doesn't make any regional sense to me. But
it's,
I guess,
just the miscellaneous column.
Okay, I found three others that don't have a conflict.
Perfect.
One is a lot better than the other two in terms of resume. I'll start with the good one, and that's Loyola. Loyola does not play until December 30th.
I did a little bit of research, too. Loyola has COVID issues.
Okay, all right.
They were going to play in Cincinnati's MTE.
Okay.
And they had to pull out. But this is a great segue, great transition. Cincinnati is available.
Oh. Well, that would be, I mean, a definite boost in competition from the other two teams that you have in this MTE. No offense to them, but I mean,
if I'm not mistaken, I think that Cincinnati with Loyola pulling out, I saw a headline here from Cincinnati.com. Bearcats multi-team event in Indianapolis canceled.
Oh, so they've just scrapped the whole thing.
Right.
Interesting. But they're not the team that's the problem from that
multi-team. Loyola is the team.
Okay. So they were already going to be another state over at the same time. Just hop another state over. Now, again, I wonder, like, does Illinois need to get the other two teams permission to do this, and would they want to go get thumped by Cincinnati? I don't know. Does it matter?
I mean, if you're willing to get thumped by Illinois,
true.
While you're here.
Might as well throw another one in there. Okay, you're going to have to tell me if you know anything about these other two teams and whether they have COVID issues. I was just looking at regional teams, potentially with some kind of connection, that don't play a game that week. And two others that popped up for me were Cleveland State.
Oh,
home of Mike Thomas.
Not sure on that one.
They don't play until December 8th. Now, they're not great. They're ranked 212th in KenPom, so it's not exactly like you'd be bringing in a quad anything win at that point. But there's a slight connection there, I guess, and they're a Midwestern team. And then the other one was Milwaukee. Milwaukee is 283rd, so they're really down in KenPom. But
Tijon Lucas returned.
Tijon Lucas is there. Is Coach Parham still there?
He is.
And they don't play till December 9th.
Okay.
So my three would be Dayton, Milwaukee, or Cleveland State. That would just make some kind of sense, at least timeline-wise.
All right.
But Dayton,
maybe Cincinnati, too.
Or Cincinnati. Dayton or Cincinnati would clearly be a bigger headliner than Cleveland State or Milwaukee.
So. Absolutely. And like you said, if Cincinnati was already planning to come over to Indianapolis,
just
another hour and a half or so.
Not even, another 90 minutes happen. Over. Andy texted in, what about Eastern Illinois? I feel like they had something,
Eastern,
don't they?
Eastern is opening, so next Wednesday they play at Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then that Friday they play at Marquette.
So why would they come three games in 3 days in three different locations?
Gonna,
that's probably
and
not
And then they play happen. Butler after that. So they really got aggressive.
Yeah, you starting out aggressive.
Another team is Louisville.
Someone did text in Louisville? So what's going on with them?
SIU Carbondale, who has COVID issues. They were in Louisville's MTE. They pulled out. Louisville was also supposed to play Seton Hall, I think, that weekend, and Seton Hall has some issues.
Okay.
There's been a report that Evansville could replace SIU, but right now that's just one game. Maybe they could say, hey, that's we're not going to do that. We're going to go up to Champaign.
Right, because, I mean, why would they, you know, the difference between a multi-team event and just playing one game against Evansville might look more attractive for them.
Right.
So they can continue to pad their resume. That would obviously be a premier matchup.
Are they ranked?
Yes, I believe they're ranked.
I would think they are.
And that was one team that was kind of tossed around. I don't think it was ever Illinois-Louisville wasn't going to be the ACC Big Ten matchup, but in terms of like similar standings position.
Yep.
Because Illinois finished technically tied for second, but fourth in the Big Ten last year. And I think that's around where Louisville finished as well. So that would obviously be a really good matchup. And another ACC matchup a week before Duke.
How about that? If you had Louisville, Duke, Baylor, and if Missouri's decent,
yeah, right.
If they're even decent, which we're not sure that they are, then again, if they're not, you should just hammer them.
True. The inner cautiously pessimistic triggered Illini fan in me is saying, let's pump the brakes on like four decent teams in 10 days just in case something went horribly wrong. But it would be fun.
Yeah. Now, before we transition, we've managed to dodge Illinois-Nebraska. For the most part, we got Lon's prediction. If you missed, I think it was 41-17.
Ouch.
The point spread is 15.5.
It seems slightly rich to me, but at the same time, if you told me Nebraska was going to win by 20, I wouldn't fight you on that.
I'm with you. My gut says a little rich, but then again.
Just the fact that they could lose by two touchdowns and cover seems like, you know, maybe if I was forced to do something, I might go Illinois plus 15.5, but I wouldn't like it.
Right. One quick note I want to throw in, and it's hard for me not to think about it this way. The fact that when you have a positive test or maybe two positive tests with contract tracing, that a lot of times is going to knock you out mm-hmm. as a team, especially in basketball where it's more difficult. I mean, I guess maybe you don't huddle the same way. I don't know.
Maybe, but it's going to be awfully hard if your big man tests positive or something to not contact trace everybody else, right?
Yeah. I understand if your right guard tests positive in football your receiving core and your running
your
backs
or something. Yeah.
Like why they're not part of the contact tracing deal. And then not only do you wonder about how you structure your practice, how you structure, okay, Adam Miller, you're only allowed to hang out with Curbelo. You can't have Coleman Hawkins
no Georgie interaction.
And Georgie
whatsoever.
Over because if one of you guys are positive, then that's four out instead of two.
It just seems like the wheels could come off a lot easier, right, in terms of basketball versus football. Because, I mean, what's even basketball all in? Like football with staffers and everything has got to be over 100, right? Between the 70 scholarship players or whatever and the coaches and the water people and all that. I mean, that's got to be over 100 people. But with basketball, what is it, like 25 maybe? You've got like, what, 13 on the roster, five coaches, you know, the trainers.
Yeah.
So I just, around that range. It's just going to, I feel like it's going to be so hard, to your point, to not basically just sit the team out for 10 days if somebody tests positive. I just don't know how you can say, I'm not saying any names, because Lon did it with Brandon Peters. He did it, and I hate it, so I'm not saying any names. But if player A tests positive and you just had a game or a practice, I don't see how you can even claim that no one else was with around him enough, you know?
I know. Isn't it bad? And is it bad for me to sit there and in the case that player A, whoever it may be, let's assume it's someone valuable to the team. And I don't want to put that on Illinois because then Derek, you did this just like Lon did. You look at pockets in the schedule, not necessarily where you can afford for that to happen, but definitely where you can't afford for that to happen.
Right.
And that's mid-January for Illinois. Now, the good thing, well, mid to late, because you have January 23rd at Michigan State,
mm-hmm.
January 29th, Iowa here, at Indiana, Wisconsin here, at Michigan after that.
Ooh. Yeah, you can't.
You wouldn't want someone out for 3 weeks that matters.
Absolutely not.
During that stretch.
Yeah, and I think, to your point, so the player test positive would be out 21 days still, right? The protocol is the same for basketball and football.
Yes.
So they're out the 14 days, and then they have to wait another 7 days to do the heart tests. So that's why, like, Trevor Lawrence and Brandon Peters were on the sidelines after their 14 days because they were technically not able to spread it anymore, I guess. I'm no scientist. But they had to do the tests. I mean, I guess on the plus side, basketball is technically easier to slot a Wednesday game in on an extra Sunday right. and fit another game in here. But on the downside, 21 days isn't missing three games. It's missing like nine, depending on your
schedule.
Could
be if you're stacking it up or trying to make up some.
And so it's just that's just such a blow. And I know it's impossible to control. And there's like, obviously, all we're going to do is sit here and say we hope it doesn't happen. And yeah. there's nothing you can do beyond that. But I can't imagine that a team, you know, I'm going to reverse jinx. I can't imagine Luka Garza testing positive. I mean, that's 21 days. And then your whole team would be out 10 days. And maybe you can make that up. But that's just, I mean, that it feels more, what did I say earlier? Like the potential to have the wheels come off feels more likely in a basketball scenario than a football scenario with this type of stuff.
Potentially, yeah. Now, one thing that is a potential positive for college basketball with Thanksgiving coming up and coinciding with the start of your season is the rest of the student bodies are at home. You hope that they go home, or in terms of there's just not that. There's not classes to go to. There's not that interaction with the outside
right.
university scene that you're going to have really a two-month stretch.
It's kind of like a bubble, right?
Where, yeah, you're pretty isolated.
Yeah, because, I mean, unless you're hanging out with other people on the team, but that doesn't matter because you're with them anyways
right.
for practices and stuff. And no one's forcing the U of I students to go home once remote learning begins and classes yeah. end. And I honestly would get it if you didn't, if you, say, had an apartment lease, right? And you don't want to go home for a month and just waste a month of apartment money by going home early. But you'd have to assume that, I don't know how many kids came here for this semester, but in a normal semester, it's 40,000. I don't think it was anywhere near that many, you know, with people just opting out completely. But let's just say 20,000. You would hope at least 7 or 8 of that 20,000 go home, right? And that significantly reduces the population, if nothing else. But we're just guessing.
We are guessing. It is going to help, you know, if Cams was still open, then there would be that example, a little more incentive to stick around, but
true.
We're not having to deal with that.
Somebody texted in, how about Mississippi Valley State? They play everybody. They are one of those teams, right, that like, they're like 350th in KenPom every year, but they have like 12 straight away games to start every yes. season because they're just fine taking their licks from every top 25 team.
They will play Illinois, no, they just do the circuit on the map, like Illinois, Notre Dame, Xavier, down to Kentucky, travel to Auburn, like that. That's the line of their schedule.
I respect it, honestly. The fact that they're so willing to go 0-8 every single year,
right? And was Mike Davis, the former Indiana coach? I think he was it Texas A&M, San Antonio? They were another team that used to do that all the time, just load up the non-conference. Although they would actually go win their conference, yeah. and then they'd be in the NCAA tournament having played.
Their record would be 14-18
right.
in the tournament, but like 8 of those games were games against top 25 teams. And I think I remember, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but to your point, that team, they set a record for like 13 straight road games to start a season. And they literally went from one end of the country to the other, just going like Oregon, Arizona, Nevada, Illinois, Michigan, and they just went across the country and lost 8 straight times, but I don't know. I kind of respect it in a way.
Yeah, I understand how you could get better out of that. We're supposed to be getting to Illinois.
I'm kind of putting it off. Can you tell?
Hans did a lot of work with these stats. One final note on college basketball. This is the start of it getting messy. It's going to be messy. I know that Brian Snow had tweeted out a couple of weeks ago that he's talked to some coaches and they've set the over-under for games that you'll actually get in at like 19.5. Which, of course, would be...
And most teams play what, like 25?
A full schedule, if you have an MT, is 27.
Okay.
If you're not in one, it's 25.
So there's
20 league games.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I don't know. I just... Things are going to happen, and I've just kind of learned to just throw my hands up in the air with all this. It's super frustrating, and I hate it, but I'd rather struggle through and get 20 out of 27 games in with this team and watch it.
Oh, 100%.
Than just say, it's not worth it, it's going to be annoying, and whatever.
You just hope it doesn't hit at the wrong time.
Yeah.
If it's going to. And then also, just survive it. Even if there is an unideal stretch where you have a positive test and you still got to play and maybe a contact trace and you're playing with, shorthanded. The good thing for Illinois is they're deep.
Yep.
They have a lot of options. and just get through that obstacle course that is the regular season, get to the NCAA tournament where they're going to play in one city and have all your guys.
It's going to be so awesome.
And just let it roll from there. Just make it to that point. That's,
amen.
That's going to be the goal of the regular season.
Yep. And who knows where we'll be by late March. I mean, you would hope by then some progress would be made in terms of, you know, we're seeing great news about vaccines. And again, I'm no doctor, and I know that basketball players are not going to be number one on the list to receive it. But I just would have to think that by that time, we will at least have somewhat of a clearer picture. And the NBA has laid out a great blueprint with the bubble and all that. And I just feel like, given what happened to the tournament last year, it just has to work. And I'm just gonna function with that mindset of this has to work until it doesn't, because I can't face the idea of it not working again.
100% with you. All right.
Someone texted in Indiana State again.
Okay.
I'll
have to look
know.
And research that. Maybe do that during the break.
I like Cincinnati. I'm kind of in on that one now.
Or Dayton.
Either one.
Should I call? Let's take a break. I'm going to call James Herring.
Okay.
I'll do Joey Biggs' job for him here. Not that he doesn't do a good job. It's been absolutely wild to try to put together a schedule, but I can lend a helping hand. We got a friend of the show. We got Dayton, a nice opponent, top 50 in KenPom. Slide in on Thanksgiving Day. Let's make it happen.
Way to go, Derek. Good job.
I'm going to try to help. When we come back, Hans D's going to roll through some, I don't know if they're encouraging stats, but they're stats for Illinois.
They're definitely numbers. That's
and
for
Nebraska.
Sure.
Going through the numbers. And then who you got for this weekend's college football slate? We'll do that when we come back. This is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents. And Doug.
Fasten your seatbelts, folks. We'll be prepared for takeoff.
Limu, how cool is this? Your first time flying. Oh, I didn't mean... Listen, Limu, you might not be able to fly, but you do something even cooler. You tell strangers that Liberty Mutual customizes their car insurance so they only pay for what they need.
Sir, do you have a certificate for your service bird?
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Things are always changing. Last November, did you throw a mask to go grocery shopping? In 2019, did you have to have an extra budget item for hand sanitizer? Two Men in a Truck is always changing too. We are constantly looking for ways to make moving a better experience. Whether you're moving to Dinosaur, Colorado, Freeway, Tennessee, or Savoy, Illinois, we have multiple solutions to help you with your unique move. Go to twomenchampagne.com and start your estimate. That's
one in four batteries in America needs changed. Is that yours? There's only one way to tell. Go to Interstate All Battery Center on Madison, and they will get you tested. No appointment needed. If your battery is over 4 years old, you're in danger. Don't be left on the side of the road on your way to work or that special event. Interstate Battery is your protector from bad power. There are three ways to get in contact with them. Go to Interstate All Battery Center on Madison, head to their website at interstatebatteries.com, or give them a call at 217-355-4855.
Pia's opens every morning, daily at 7 a.m. You will find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. See you at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue in Champaign. Serving food 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. and drinks until 2 a.m. daily. Pia serves up its famous 10-ounce Slugger Burger along with great wings and so much more. You will find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. See you at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
My name is Mark Flumacher and I am a Champaign County farmer. Champaign County has been my family's home for four generations. I farm to preserve and conserve the soil and water. I farm to be a worthy steward of this ground that I call home. I farm so that both my family and yours can enjoy the wonders that come from the changing of the seasons. Champaign County is home, and I farm so the next generations can also have the joy of calling Champaign County home. Champaign County Farmers Care, a message from the Champaign County Farm Bureau.
As you drive your vacation destination, you are assured of a trip filled with great memories of your adventures. That's because you came to Midas for a road trip pre-check. Dave and his crew in Urbana inspected and repaired your vehicle in advance for brakes that stop, a transmission that keeps you going, shock absorbers and struts for a smooth ride, an engine tuned for your best mileage and power, and the air conditioning to keep it cool. Nothing beats a secure feeling you get from Midas Tire and Auto in Urbana. Enjoy the scenery and family time knowing that Midas is with you all the way.
Are you in the market for a new home? You don't have to settle for just the 3 or 4 loan products that many banks offer. Hi, I'm Joni Utenage, mortgage lender with Molitor Financial Group right here in Champaign. Unlike most banks, with just one application and one credit pull, I can shop the top wholesale lenders in the nation to find the best loan product for you. Ready to get started? Contact me today at champagnelender.com. That's champagnelender.com.
NMLS number 689931. Molitor Financial Group is an Illinois mortgage licensee.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LandsInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lands family. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Have you been made to feel like you are not at the right place in life to talk with someone about your finances? Maybe you've been told you do not have enough income or assets or have too much debt. Terry and Tim at Chester Financial meet you wherever you are in life, whether you are just starting out, close to retirement, or anywhere in between. For an appointment with Terry and Tim, call me, Christy, at 352-5828.
Securities offered through the Owens Equity Sales Company. Member FINRA, SIPC, 701 Devonshire Drive, Champaign, Illinois, 61820, 217-352-5828.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
You've waited. We've made you wait. Illinois football. We're diving in.
Okay. You want some music?
Yeah, bring it on. We're going to welcome in the legend, Hans D., who's done some work to inform us all about this Illini-Nebraska matchup. You got a bunch of stats, Hans. Just hit us with them.
I'm just going to read them off.
Let's go.
Illinois offense, points per game, 17. Eek. Pass yards, 148.
Sorry,
yards.
17 is not cut. I'm sorry. I interrupted you right away. No, 17 is not cut in this day and age.
Nope.
Well, it's the worst in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And so is 148 passing yards per game. That's the worst in the Big Ten.
We're bad. Yeah. Rush yards, 206.8 yards. So
that's not... I mean, if you get 200 rush yards a game, you kind of feel okay about yourself, right? You feel good about yourself. The problem is the other two stats there.
Let's compare that to Nebraska's offense. They only score 20 points per game. Pass yards, 176, and rush yards, almost 200 with 193. So it's kind of evenly matched.
They haven't really been that impressive of an offense. I know you look there and see they put up 30 against Penn State last week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, they've got it rolling there, but... McCaffrey is their quarterback, has one passing touchdown. Martinez, they hung with Ohio State, and I didn't really watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
They were tied at halftime. I figured, okay, they must be doing some things, but as a team, they have one passing touchdown in 3 games.
Wow. Really?
They have, yeah.
Wow.
And 176 passing yards is second worst in the Big Ten, only to
Illinois. That's surprising.
It's pronounced Io, Hans.
Io.
That's surprising they only have one passing touchdown through their 3 games. I don't know. He'll dive more into it, but my overall thought is that Nebraska's just not very good, and you shouldn't think they're good. I'm talking super macro here. Like, for the last decade, Nebraska has not been good at all. I'm not even talking like Bo Pelini, where they kind of want to get back to the promised land, and they go 7-5, and he chews that reporter's like, no. They've, like, routinely been 4-8 with horrid defense for the last 10 years. Okay, I'm done.
Hmm.
Talking about the defense, Nebraska's defense, points allowed 32, pass yards allowed 233, rush yards allowed 200. And then Illinois.
It's not great. I know that Penn State had over or near 500 yards of total offense.
And they benched Clifford in the middle of that game.
Yeah.
So it's not like their offense has been firing on all cylinders this year.
Exactly. And then I will give them a little bit of a break. Had to play Ohio State, obviously. And then who was their
Northwestern.
Which,
I mean, they've been okay.
They've been decent.
Peyton Ramsey's been okay.
Illinois' defense, points allowed, 34. Pass yards, 272. And rush yards allowed, 189.
So Illinois is allowing, essentially, I'm no math major, like double what they're providing, right? They score 17 a game, they give up 34.
Yep.
They pass for 148, they give up 272. It's not good.
No, definitely not. And I didn't necessarily I didn't know this until I went back and looked at the stats some last night. Rutgers had over 400 yards of offense against you last week.
Did they really?
Now, they had a litany of turnovers, three interceptions in particular. I don't know if they they did not fumble.
Why they threw the ball late so many times, I have no idea.
Right.
But.
And they had nearly 8 yards per completion.
Mm.
So this is a team that's given up chunk plays, and when you look there and see Nebraska's pass offense has not been impressive, and they're getting a good matchup to maybe get it together.
It just doesn't matter. Like, we looked at the Minnesota game, right? And it's like, well, this is the time the offense will finally get going. Well, no, because you're bad. So Minnesota shut you down even though they have a bad defense. Like, it just seems like Illinois is the exception to whatever statistical trend the other team is having because they're not that good. And I'm sorry, and maybe it's just more time passing from this Rutgers win that's making me feel right back to where I was before it, but, like, it was year five, and you were in a dogfight with a bad team, and two turnovers late on dumb decisions got you the win.
Mm.
All right.
And sorry, talking about the quarterbacks, Luke McCaffrey, he's got a 69% completion rate.
Nice.
300 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions.
He's more of a runner. Yeah. I know he led them in rushing yards last week. Yeah, dual threat quarterbacks against Illinois that against Lovie Smith defenses haven't been great. But
He's leading the team with 196.
There you go.
Rushing yards?
Yep.
Wow.
And then Martinez is pretty close behind in the rushing
yards. So their top two rushers are both their quarterbacks?
Yep.
Their running backs must not be very good then.
The talk of the week, Illinois QBs. Isaiah Williams has a 33% completion rate.
That's not good.
No. 104 yards and one interception. While Brandon Peters has a 42% completion rate and 87 yards.
Not good either.
The sample size for these are both so woefully small, and I know it's bad, but I mean, Isaiah essentially never threw in one game, and Brandon just had like the worst possible clunker you could have as an offense in the first game that it's so bad to look at that.
And it's unfortunate he played against Wisconsin, you know, but
maybe they're just really, and I'm not taking anything away from that. That was really bad showing by Illinois, but Wisconsin just thumped Michigan too, and maybe Michigan stinks too. But, I mean, they won by the same margin in both games, 45-7 and 49-10. Maybe Wisconsin is just really darn good too.
They could be. They absolutely could be. The problem is we know Minnesota is horrendous.
Yep, there's your outlier.
And when they come in and pummel you, that it gives you get an indicator like, yeah, it's not just Wisconsin.
Yep, because the worst you could twist the narrative after the first two games is maybe Wisconsin is elite and your four-string quarterback had a chance to win the game against Purdue but couldn't.
Yep.
Right? But there's no way to twist the narrative of, what was that, 41-10 or whatever that was against Minnesota.
Chase Brown has been on the come up as a running back, 35 rushing attempts for 247 yards, 7 yards per rush.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
That's impressive. And that's the way, I like it. No, that's not what I meant to say. But I think that that's how you want to obviously attack Nebraska, because when you look at this, they're giving up over 200 yards a game on the ground. If Illinois can really move the ball there, but we all know any defensive game plan, Jay said it on Monday, is going to center around make this team beat us through the air, which Isaiah hasn't shown it at all. And Brandon, we know that he can do it, but how rusty is he after a three-week absence?
Right. And how short is your leash with whoever's starting? You know, I mean, if you go, it's a bit of a no-win situation because you're either benching a guy who got COVID, which the optics on that are just, even though he was bad, like, you know, it's not his fault he got COVID and sat out for 3 weeks, or you're benching the guy that just won Big Ten, what was it, Freshman of the Week or whatever. So, I mean, I don't necessarily envy Lovey's choice here, but my question would be, how short is the leash no matter who starts? You know, if it's Isaiah and they're shutting him down in the run game and he can't throw, how quickly do you go to Brandon? And if it's Brandon and they're picking him off and he's missing guys like he was against Wisconsin, how quickly do you go to Isaiah? I would have to think the answer is going to be pretty quick, right, for either of those guys.
I think you want to see both. The problem is we know against Wisconsin, Brandon said that bothered him as far as the rhythm. Yeah.
You know the game plan in the quarterback room, right? And they said that that was a planned thing to give Isaiah snaps. So I don't understand why your comment after the game is, that was weird.
Yeah.
Like, well, you knew it was going to happen, so I don't know.
The problem is I don't think the two quarterback approach helps either of them individually, because we even saw with Isaiah gotten him more of a rhythm in the second half, making some throws that he didn't make early. But at the same time, me as someone who just watches the game for enjoyment, I want to see Isaiah. That's my take on it, but I also know that if he can't make passes, Nebraska's going to blow you out.
Yep, I'm with you. Hans, who would you pick?
I would pick Brandon Peters.
All right, Hans has spoken.
Yeah.
I just think your leash has to be short. If Brandon goes out there and he looks like he did against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a problem, first of all. But second of all, you can't just let him, like, I don't know. I just feel like if you're down 21-0 and he's still out there, like, you've already lost your chance. Not that Isaiah maybe brings the chance to come back from 21-0, but wouldn't you rather just let him feel it out more? I would.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know what Josh Matorbebe's vote is.
Well, yeah.
He has to be thinking.
He's not going
to
get any looks if Isaiah.
Should have been out of here.
Yeah.
Nebraska's running back, Dedrick Mills, has 31 attempts for 95 yards and only gets 3 yards per rush. So I think we have to worry about the QBs rushing more than the running backs for the Nebraska team.
Kind of like Isaiah, right? If Luke and Isaiah are the ones starting this game, you kind of know where both offenses are going to have their luck.
On the wide receiver side, Illinois' Josh Imatorbebe has 13 yards per reception, 11 receptions for 144 yards. And he's
just not getting enough.
Yeah.
Enough targets, enough.
Did he make a catch last week?
I think he got like two.
He got two? Okay. I couldn't even remember if Isaiah targeted him.
Yeah. Nebraska's wide receiver Wandell Robinson has 15 yards per reception, 15 for 92 yards. So he's a little bit of a threat, I guess. But
I know he went crazy against you last year.
He did, yeah. I remember that.
They gave him 20 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown. And then receiving-wise, he had 8 catches, 80 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
So he had in the one game?
3 touchdowns and 160 yards.
Wow. Okay. Illinois was up like 35-17 at one point that game, weren't they?
It was.
Or am I misremembering that? Like
35-21.
35-21, okay.
Yep.
In the third quarter, was that? Or the second quarter?
Late third quarter.
Ah. How are you up 14 points late in the third quarter and it's like. Okay.
That was deflating.
That was.
Do we need to take a break before we come back and rifle through these picks, or are we just going to do it right now?
We can take a break. Can we talk about college basketball again? I'm kidding, but not really. I told you earlier I'd rather just read KenPom 100 through 352 than talk about this.
Is Trev Palm out yet?
Ooh, no, not yet. Still working
on it. Maybe we can put it out on Monday or Tuesday.
Let's unveil Trev Palm next week. I like that. Well, thanks, Hans.
Unveil our picks and who you got when we come back. This is The Draft.
This time of year can be a challenge, especially during COVID-19. That's why the College of ACES at the University of Illinois is sharing this reminder. The application due date for ACES and other majors is January 5th for fall 2021. You can learn more at aces.illinois.edu/future-students, or you can apply today at aces.illinois.edu/apply, or give ACES a call at 217-333-3380. That's 333-3380. ACES is more than meets the eye.
Your Fighting Illini men's basketball team is gearing up for what could be a historic season. You can gear up. Show off your fandom at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Shop their huge selection of new merchandise with everything from Nike tees and headwear, champion sweatshirts, and of course, their famous House of Pain and Flying Illini apparel. They have everything you need to get ready for this Illini basketball season. Head down to their stores at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town, Neil and Kirby in Champaign, or online at GameDaySpirit.com.
Christmas time is here, and this is your year for a tree that brings cheer with a tree guarantee that keeps the glee. And it's all right here at Prairie Gardens. You'll find unique holiday decor and sparkling ornaments galore, handmade wreaths, candles, and more. And all at generous savings you'll adore. Because when you're at Prairie Gardens, you make your Christmas as unique as you. Extraordinary gardening, home decor, framing, and...
ho, ho, ho!
It's Halloween!
At Sarah Honda Champaign, every new car in stock is marked down online. You can buy from home. You can skip a car payment, start paying next year so you have more money for the holidays. Ask them about how to trade in your vehicle and walk away with cash in your pocket. You've got to check it out. Stop into Sarah Champaign and see Jen Falcon to make an incredible deal on a new Honda and put some cash in your pocket for the holidays. Call 356-0303 or visit sarahhondachampaign.com.
Old Man Winter will be here before you know it. Frozen and leaking pipes are two reasons to call ServPro. Immediate action is crucial with water damage, and the ServPro professionals respond quickly and utilize their advanced equipment and techniques. ServPro's action to your problem? Inspect water damage, extract water, dry and dehumidify, and clean and sanitize, restoring it like it never even happened. Call 217-355-0077. ServPro, the number one choice in the area for restoration problems. Franchise is independently owned and operated.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Oh, yeah. We never play this one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Finishing up here on the drive with the best segment of the week. At least Hans likes to think so. It's Who You Got. Hans, let's roll.
Let's go. First up, it's not Big Ten. Number 14, Oklahoma State, 5-1, at number 18, Oklahoma, 5-2. Oklahoma's favored by 7 points. Who you got?
So Oklahoma kind of bounced back, right? Because they lost to Kansas State and they lost to Iowa State in the first 3 weeks of the season.
That's right.
So they must have rattled off like 4 or 5 rattled, speaking of which. Their quarterback is Rattler, right? Spencer Rattler?
That is correct.
And he's the one who was on the Netflix show, and he angered everybody, right? Because he has just a terrible attitude or something. That's what I heard, at least. He was on the QB1 show, and he was just like a terrible sport, essentially. And so nobody likes him. But you know what? I like the villain role here. So I will take Oklahoma to beat Oklahoma State. The Big 12, are they going to get nobody in? I don't know. Just seems like they're kind of feasting on each other.
They might not. Oklahoma State, for a while there, was their best chance, but they lost to Texas.
Yep.
Oklahoma's reeled off 4 in a row, to your point, starting with the Texas win. For them, they put up 62 points in back-to-back games.
Wow.
Albeit against Texas Tech and Kansas.
Oh.
Better, you know, their basketball school.
Kansas, just sidetrack. Les Miles has been terrible there. I don't know why he made that career decision to try to resurrect Kansas football, but it's not working.
Do you think they're having the same conversations at Kansas? It's like, is Les here just to collect his retirement check?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
He starred in a movie last year.
Did he really?
He was in a movie about space. He's like a cadet or something in the movie. I'm not kidding. Like, he took time off to go film a movie. And he eats grass. I'm talking about, like, grass from the ground.
Actual grass.
Yes.
Okay, this is at Oklahoma, which they actually do have fans. Night game. I'm going to go Oklahoma State just because.
All right.
Nice. Next up, Purdue at Minnesota. Purdue's 2-1. Minnesota is 1-3. Purdue's favored by only about 3 points. Who you got?
ugly.
Oof.
No thank you is my answer to that question.
Minnesota has, Trevor mentioned in the break, I saw it on Twitter earlier today, 20 guys out.
Yep.
Whether it's between COVID or injuries. I mean, when they are playing, they're quote-unquote best. They're horrendous.
They're already at a deficiency with the 20 in, let alone with the 20 out.
Looks like starting quarterback for Purdue, Aiden O'Connell, is out. Jack Plummer is in. But, Trevor, what's the big news for this one?
I was wrong, Derek. Rondale Moore is suiting up. So when I said I didn't think he'd play this year, I was wrong. He will play tonight for Purdue.
Just to spite you.
Yep. And I against this defense, he's got to be Purdue. Licking his chops.
Yep.
I also will take Purdue, but I'll pass in terms of if I'm actually going to do anything with this game betting-wise.
Would this be a watchable game? Like, would you actually watch it?
No.
I'll
have it on because it's Friday night and, you know,
yeah.
I'm not going to watch Food Network, but it's not a ringing endorsement for this game.
No.
All right, next up, number 9, Indiana at
watch
number
this game.
Yes.
3, Ohio State. Both teams undefeated, but Ohio State is favored by at least 3 touchdowns. Who you got?
This is just sick. And Lon has brought this up, and it's a good point. And you kind of get tired of it. The fact that Ohio State is that much better, perceived to be, at least as far as this game, than everybody else. Indiana is number 9 in the country, and they're 3 touchdown underdogs.
And it's fair. I'm looking at that going, it's teasing you to take Indiana, right? Because it's a huge spread. But can't you see Ohio State winning this game by 28?
Yeah. It's fair and it's bait. The one thing I look at, Ohio State's defense has given up some points.
Mm-hmm.
Even Rutgers threw up 25 on them. But the thought in your head is this is like maybe a flex opportunity for Ohio State. I'm going to be the sucker and take Indiana and say they cover.
I'll take the over so I don't have to be the sucker. But if I had to side with one, I'm just going to go Ohio State until they prove me otherwise.
I know. I just really like Indiana.
They're good.
They're fun.
They are fun. I hate it, but they're fun.
Next up, Iowa at Penn State. Iowa's undefeated with 2-0. Penn State 0-4. Very ugly. Iowa's favored by 2 points. What you got?
So Hans has apparently erased Iowa's 2 losses out of existence.
Oh, my.
It's okay.
That's a...
They've put it behind them, and so have we.
Let's blame ESPN on that one.
It's cool.
You know what's funny is I totally bought it. I'm like, yeah, okay, I was 2-0 going in this game. They had 2 games canceled because of COVID.
Yep.
Even though they lost to some bad teams, I think.
Yeah, well, they lost to Purdue, and then they lost to
Northwestern. After being up 17-0.
Yeah, that's right.
I was starting to figure some things out, albeit against Michigan State and... Who was the other one?
They haven't played Minnesota. Yeah, they played Minnesota, right?
Minnesota. And blasted Minnesota last
Friday night.
The spread's a little stinky because Penn State's look pretty abysmal. And are they really going to start 0-5?
I don't know.
Yeah, let's say they do.
Okay. Iowa. I can't figure out the narrative with Penn State. Like, is it that they can't possibly be 0-5 so they're going to win?
Probably.
Or is it that the wheels are falling off? Clifford's been benched, and they're just going to be really, really bad this year. I'll take Penn State as well, though. You didn't take Penn
That's
State,
fine.
But I'll take Penn State.
That's fine.
All right, next up, number 10, Wisconsin at number 19, Northwestern.
Oh, that's a good game, I guess.
Northwestern's undefeated, which is, it triggers me. I don't think Northwestern should even be a Big Ten school, but.
Wow. Oh. Okay.
Shots fired.
All right, who you got?
Where are you sending them? The MAC?
Somewhere else. I don't care.
The Ivy League.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
That's how they carry themselves.
I told you guys, they're the only school that didn't accept me. You know, I applied to a bunch of schools, and they said I wasn't good enough. So,
jeez.
You know, whatever.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you take the lead on this one.
I don't like any of these spreads. I'm just going to go on record to say I don't like any of them except for the next one. Maybe. But I'll just go Wisconsin because, again, they haven't really proven me wrong yet. I mean, they played 2 teams and won by 38 in both games. So Northwestern's cute. And I do – Northwestern's like 5-5 in their last 10 against Wisconsin. But I'll go Wisconsin.
This one is difficult. I feel like Northwestern is better in that underdog kind of role, although they, when they get matched up against the Big Ten elite, they can kind of get hammered, especially Ohio State. Ohio State does that to them all the time.
Yep.
They've been sneaky against like a Michigan. I'm just trying to figure out how good Wisconsin is.
It's hard to know, right? Yeah. I mean, Michigan's not a good team, and Illinois is not a good team, and other than that, they haven't played.
I really like Wisconsin, but I think the Northwestern keeps it close enough. I'll take the points, but Wisconsin wins.
Okay.
Next up, this is a fun game. Michigan 1-3 at Rutgers 1-3. Michigan is favored by 12.5 points. Mm. The over-under is 55.
It's a rich spread for two bad teams.
Yeah.
Typically what I like to do, and I've told you guys this before, is when there's two bad teams, I just go with the one that has the more value because I figure maybe they'll be less bad for some reason. So I'll take the points with Rutgers because that's a lot of points. But I guess I'll pick Michigan to win.
That's a decent strategy there. I just have the thinking that Michigan's better than Illinois. Yes. And Illinois can go in there and beat Rutgers.
That's true.
Michigan needs an opportunity to take out some anger. Say it's a Michigan blowout.
Wait, Hans, let me get you different music for our finale here.
For the game of the week, we have Illinois.
No.
At Nebraska. Illinois is 1-3. Nebraska is 1-2. Nebraska is favored by 16 points. And the over-under is 59. This would be Illinois' first win in Lincoln, Nebraska since 1924.
Wow.
So like 100 years.
Yeah.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Okay, I know they didn't play for like 70 years in there, but my God.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't feel great about it. I just don't. I think it might be one of those games where it's annoyingly close for 2.5 quarters, but I'll say Nebraska wins 35-21.
Spread seems a little high. If I had to place money on it, which I'm not, I'd say Illinois covers, but they're not going to win the game.
By the way, but.
Right. 34-20, Nebraska.
Hans, make us feel better on our exit here.
I'm feeling good. A win with Illinois, actually. You know?
Oh, really? No kidding.
As a 217 texter texted in, we're forgetting how Peters was actually good last year. Well,
it's easy to forget when he was
part of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Just god awful for the only time we saw him in the last 9 months.
But I didn't forget that. And okay. I think he's good.
Okay.
He starts, and as long as we spread the ball around and get the offense moving, since this is a pretty easy defense. We're going to win it 27-21.
There you go.
Okay.
The Hans D stamp of approval. Thanks to Kyle Smith-Peters, John A. Logan coach, who joined us in the 4 o'clock hour. Trevor and I will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is... Oh, thanks, Hans, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, Hans.
Oh, thank you.
This is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.